This morning, I wanted to continue kind of where I left off last week with a few questions and answers out of this resource material that our young adult class used. I'll just remind everyone, give an overview. The book is called My Christian Faith, and it is a catechism. And again, a catechism is just, all it means is it's a series of questions and answers that a person may have or should have going into and throughout their Christian life. And all of these questions and answers in this material are accompanied by a Bible verse or two. So today we are going to look at a section called The Church in God's Plan of Salvation, and it is subtitled The Meaning of the Church. We're going to look at questions, 83 through 87. So question 83, we'll start off there. It asks, what is the church? Believers in Jesus Christ, gathering in fellowship for worship, study, and service are the church. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18, verse 20. So a congregation that worships together, studies that Bible together, discusses the word together, and serves one another, and outside the church, that is the meaning of the church. It's not a building. It doesn't matter how many people are there. If there's a few people, then that's what the church is. The next question is, what is the relationship of Jesus Christ to the church? Jesus Christ, as the head of the church, is seeking to fulfill God's word, God's will, through the church. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Colossians 1, verse 18. So Christ is the head of the church, and Christ seeks to do God's will, and he uses us, the church, to further that will of God. So when we are able and say yes to God, to what God has for us in his will, Jesus and God will guide us to do the things that he needs done to accomplish his will. And his will be done whether we say yes or no, but we are blessed if we do answer the call and look to God and do what he asks of us. The next question is, who is a member of the church? He who repents, is baptized upon his faith in Jesus Christ, and lives a life of obedience to Jesus Christ as Lord. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's who becomes a member. And that's not a piece of paper. It's not something you sign up for. It's repentance. It's through the act of baptism, and then of course the obedience to the word. So if you've repented from one thing, if you've repented from your sin, you're supposed to be obedient to God's word. It's a complete shift. What's supposed to happen in that case? Next question is, what should be the relationship of members to each other? The church is a brotherhood. Members are to live in love and unity with each other. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, makes bodily growth, and upbuilds itself in love. That's Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16. When it comes to the truth is always the truth, and the truth should always be spoken, but it has to be done in love. The very first line in Ephesians 4, verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love. So speaking the truth, but always with a loving words and tone, all those things matter. A Bible scholar, Blakey, said this of speaking the truth. Truth is the element in which we are to live, move, and have as a part of our being. But truth must be inseparably married to love. Good tidings spoken harshly are not good tidings at all. The charm of the message can be destroyed by the discordant spirit of the messenger. So the message can be damaged if it's not shared with a loving words and a loving tone and the loving spirit of the messenger. We need to deal with each other and with the world in love, just as Christ always has done for us. Now the next question is, what is the New Testament ideal for the church? They give a two-part answer for this one. It probably could be a 20-part answer, but they've stuck to two here. And the first one is, the church of Jesus Christ is pure. It is the body of believers living pure and holy lives. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that the church might be presented before him in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27. Now, purity is a big one. Satan is after our purity from all angles and at all cost. Purity's always been, Satan can't take away your salvation, but he can damage your purity, which, it just damages our testimony, and it damages the furthering of the will of God. Purity isn't something that just happens for each one of us. Purity requires effort, work, diligence, and above all, to keep pure, it requires God's word to keep us there. Satan wants us to be all wrinkly, spotted, and blemished. That is one of the biggest things that will bring our service to God a bad name, and it will completely destroy our testimony to the world, rendering our effectiveness as a witness to God's salvation plan kind of useless. So we have to be careful with that purity. Purity's been a problem always, but I think nowadays with our endless TVs and computers and phones that can scroll to no end, purity is no further than your pocket away from if we're not very careful with it. And the last part of this, there was a few things I was gonna read here. Christ's love for the church is presented here in three majestic movements extending from the past to the present, to the future. In the past, he demonstrated his love for the church by giving himself for her. This refers to the sacrificial death on the cross. There he paid the greatest price in order to purchase a bride for himself. Just as Eve was brought forth from the side of Adam, so, in a sense, the church was created from the wounded side of the Savior. At the present time, his love for the church is shown, and in his work of sanctification, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. To sanctify means just to set apart. Positionally, the church is already sanctified. Practically, she is being set apart day by day. She is going through a process of moral and spiritual preparation. The process of sanctification is carried on by the washing of water by the word. In simple terms, this means that the lives of believers are cleansed as they hear the words of Christ and obey them. Just as the blood of Christ cleanses once for all from the guilt and penalty of sin, so the word of God cleanses continually from the defilement and pollution of sin. This passage teaches that the church is being bathed at the present time not with literal water, but with the cleansing agent of the word of God. In the past, Christ's love was manifest in our redemption. In the present, it is seen in our sanctification. In the future, it will be displayed in our glorification. He himself will present her to himself a glorious church, not having wrinkle or spot or any such thing, but holy and without blemish. She will then reach the pinnacle of beauty and spiritual perfection. And the last part of that, of what the ideal church looks like in the New Testament, the church of Jesus is one. All who confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord are members of the body of Christ, the true church. There is only one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. So in reading that, let us rejoice in Jesus Christ, whom is our salvation. Cling to that word in obedience, which brings purity, and let us all be one with Jesus and each other in love, and present that word of salvation to the world as an unblemished bride of Christ.